That's the sound of yodeling. A specific kind of yodeling, actually. If you recognize that sound, by the way, it's from the beginning of Grand Budapest Hotel. And it's a polyphonic yodeling that I believe is popular in or native to the Appenzell region of Switzerland. We have guests who can straighten me out about that. But yes, this is going to be an entire episode of our show about yodeling, which we have decided is a really fascinating topic. It has historical implications. Richard Nixon yodeled in the last days of his presidency in the darkness of the White House until the sweat poured down his neck. Edith Wharton yodeled when she couldn't write. Actually, I'm making those things up. Okay, those aren't. That was fake news. That wasn't really true. But it is true that yodeling is a much more complicated topic than you might imagine. It also exists in a lot more places than you might imagine. We're going to begin with a little bit of the history and maybe ethnology of yodeling, and we have to do that. And then I should also tell you that in the final segment, you'll hear. We've already recorded the final segment. You'll hear a professional yodeler come into our studio and teach both me and Kyon Wolf how to yodel. And so we've already done that, and we are cleansed. And it may, I mean, I'm sort of joking that we were cleansed or we feel better or something, but as you'll hear, that might not be speculation completely detached from reality. So we're going to begin our conversation with the guy who wrote the book, as they say, Bart Plantenga, Amsterdam-based writer, radio DJ, and expert on yodeling. He is the author of several books, including Yodel in Hi-Fi, From Kitsch Folk to Contemporary Electronica. So first of all, welcome to our conversation. Thank you for doing this, Bart Plantenga.
No, thank you. Thank you.
So I think we need to begin. Well, I think let's begin at the beginning of yodeling, and we don't really know when that is. But I guess it's reasonable to speculate that its history goes back 10,000 years or so to whatever time human beings were trying to herd animals. Explain the connection.
I would guess somewhere between 10 and 100,000, but nobody seems to know so exactly when. And originally, it was a utilitarian call, and in its underwear, it's a unique, powerful form of communication that shifts rapidly from chest to head voice. That's the basic element, and herders found it an effective way to communicate among each other, and also their herds, but. This was in Africa, probably, where it all began. And the pygmies have probably a little bit different utilitarian usage for yodeling. They use it for gathering after dinner and playing games. They do hocketing, interwoven vocals, and everybody can participate in the village, but also they yodel to the forest to give thanks for bounty, for their survival.
So one of the people who has weighed in on yodeling, and there are endless surprises about who has weighed in about yodeling, is Ed Sanders, one of the founders of the Fugs. He calls it a kind of homemade Morse code for people in the mountains. Now, why would yodeling be any more effective than, I don't know, just yelling or singing back and forth across the mountains?
Well, it has something to do with the movement from head to chest voice, and some people insist that the application of the consonants, so the yo, dol, e, the d helps propel it further, and there's some evidence to that effect.
So it had that folk tradition, but then it Yes. became part of the musical arts too, right? In other words, at some point it got elevated from its utilitarian aspect in terms of alpine communication, its religious aspect in terms of how pygmies might use it, or even just the folk maybe around the campfire tradition. It became more exalted, right? It became a musical Yeah. art. Can you talk about that?
It probably occurred during the Romantic period, the late 1700s, early 1800s, that whole veneration of nature and fits very well with yodeling. Some of the usually the Natur yodels are basically Swiss herders communicating with nature in the same way maybe that the pygmies did. But at some point, the song structure, the verse, chorus, verse, chorus, began to be more popular in bars and cafes, and they started to apply the yodel in those songs. So it became part of a more structured song.
So I think, you know, there is a little bit of a prejudice against yodeling in here in 2017. That word kitsch appears in your title as the early part of a progression. But I think there are people who have this kind of notion that rather than it being one of any number of possible vocal expressions, there's something a little kitschy about yoga, about yodeling. Although I also feel as though there are many contexts recently in which we hear more yodeling. One of them, and it's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show, is that here in America, we have certain programs like America's Got Talent, and Britain has its own counterpart. And some of these shows are based on the idea that people who have learned some particular thing that maybe isn't a huge part of mainstream entertainment come on and do it. And I think yodeling is one of those things that people, if they think about it, they think they've got a prejudice against it, they don't really like it. And then they hear it and they're delighted, right? I mean, some little girl will come on America's Got Talent and yodel and people will flip out.
Yes, Taylor Ware in 2004 or 5 or something, she only placed second, but she was obviously the audience favorite, and people just went crazy. Simon Cowell was, you know, his eyes were popping out, and she started a whole rage among preteen girls to yodel, and at this point she's probably about 20, but
right.
she was one of the first to take one of these shows by storm. There are others.
Yes, absolutely. Well, when people who haven't been thusly charmed think about yodeling, try to imagine in their, you know, summon their own mental audio picture of yodeling, I think it sounds kind of like this. So even though that's Franz Lang, the late Franz Lang, maybe the most famous yodeler of modern life, you sort of hear that, Bart, and I think you understand why people think yodeling could be annoying.
Yes, but like almost every form, yodeling is very flexible. It can go from the ridiculous to the sublime, from the unique to the universal, deep to shallow, and it can be intimate and bravado, over the top. Like Kerry Christensen did a piece with Beck. There was a reimagining of a David Bowie song, and he had an orchestra of 100 people and one yodeler, and that was Kerry Christensen, and a very bravado performance competing with 10 electric guitars.
All right. So in the second segment of our conversation, we're going to add one person and talk a little bit more about the way that yodeling filters into all kinds of different music. But let's stay back for just a second, Bart, in its time of origins, because there are other things that are said about yodeling and being a newborn yodeler as of today. I'm interested in them, including the notion that yodeling might be sort of, I don't know, good for your soul, that there's actually something else that goes on inside you when you're yodeling. Tell us about that.
Sure. The idea is similar, I guess, to meditation, or the idea that sound heals, and the idea that of Om, as John Coltrane, I remember reading about the idea of the Om centering someone, the idea of sound filling a valley and somehow uniting you with nature. And those things are all elements of Swiss yodeling, for instance, but also jazz yodeling. And the Swiss yodel is melancholy, slow, and totally not like Franz Lang. And that's a whole long story, the difference between the two, in fact.
Well, you know, before we tell any of those stories, the other thing that has been suggested at certain times in the history of yodeling, maybe back in that Romantic period a little bit more, is that yodeling might actually have, I mean, let's grant the notion that, like Om, it can center us. It can be a good way of connecting body and soul through sound that you produce with your body. But people have alleged more about yodeling, right? That it might even be magical. There might be a way that yodeling could magically affect the hearer as well.
One example is the mysterious asthmatic avenger, a psychobilly one-man band from France, and a yodeler, who claims that his asthma was cured by yodeling.
But wasn't there also a group of yodelers who were banned at one point because their yodeling was creating this sort of urgent kind of Swiss homesickness?
Yes. Well, that's probably it may very well be an apocryphal story, but the idea was that the kurai and the lining up of the cows, the melancholy calls perhaps, were so powerful that Swiss mercenaries fighting overseas elsewhere were so moved when they heard that they often ran off, refused to fight. Even some say there may have been some suicides involved. So they banned the singing of certain kinds of yodel melodies.
Right. Well, sometimes I guess you have to do something like that. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about the way yodeling surfaces. I mean, you already heard about Beck, but as we go out here, let's hear a little bit of Leon Thomas, legendary jazz vocalist and composer. Leon Thomas's track Umbo Weti. Welcome back to our yodeling show, an entire episode of our show about yodeling with Bart Plantenga, Amsterdam-based writer. He's joining us from a studio there, radio DJ and expert on yodeling. He's the author of several books, including Yodel and Hi-Fi, From Kitsch Folk to Contemporary Electronica. Also joining us now, Timothy Wise, senior lecturer in musicology at the University of Salford, England. He is the author of Yodeling and Meaning in American Music. And actually, before we get there, Bart, you know, we played out with that that piece of kind of experimental sounding Leon Thomas jazz yodeling. You talked about Beck using yodeling in what's essentially electronica or something close to it. Are there yodeling traditionalists? I know there's no academy like there would be in certain arts and languages that rules over everything, but are there people who go, nah, that's not yodeling. You can't call that yodeling.
Yes, there are. Switzerland is a divided country politically by the what kind of yodels are real yodels. So you have the pure outdoor Natur yodels, which are very basic and, well, actually quite beautiful. Then you have the middle ground, which are the official people who have tried to frame, write down, and map out yodels because they were afraid they were dying out in the early 1900s, the official Swiss yodel, the melancholy, a little bit more melancholy, trying to keep the Austrian and German frolicsome yodels out. And then you have the experimenters, the people who have taken the roots and recast the sound into different genres. So they're the three kind of vie for attention. In fact, Christine Lauterberg, an outlaw yodeler who appeared in cross-dress as a man to protest the sexism in the official yodel clubs. She appeared on the a Swiss stamp recently, and there was a big to-do about that because she's not one of the official.
Switzerland has its a postal stamp that has a cross-dressing outlaw yodeler. See, that makes me happy just to know something like that. All right, so let's point our ears at America, and as we get ready to add Tim Wise to this conversation, let's hear the yodeling of Jimmy Rogers, otherwise known as the Singing Brakeman. He had a series of numbered so-called blue yodels. I believe we're going to hear Blue Yodel number one.
Lord, I'm going where the water drinks like cherry wine. Cause the Georgia water tastes like turpentine. Oh, lady, lady, oh, lady.
So, Tim Wise, author of Yodeling and Meaning in American Music. When did Americans, so to speak, start yodeling?
Well, it looks like the it was a European vogue first that started in the beginning of the 19th century as the folk yodels got added to what we'd probably call popular music now, or songs written for choruses and things, but with a yodel added. And this spread across the German-speaking countries and eventually to the United States. Probably, I'm not sure if you've talked about this already, but there were the so-called singing families that came out of Tyrol who specialized in these folk songs with yodels, and they helped to create this vogue. And they interested a lot of people, professional composers and singers in it, and so people began writing songs with yodels, and they eventually made their way into America. Interestingly, it looks like it was opera singers, such as Maria Malibran and Antoinette Otto, who actually introduced yodel songs into America before the famous Reiner family actually arrived.
But Tim,
were published and distributed throughout the U.S.
Tim, as I listen to Jimmy Rogers, though, who's a white country blues singer, I'm hearing, and particularly as you go through some of the other blue yodels, the one that's based on Mule Skinner blues, I think that might be number six, but don't hold me to that. You know, you absolutely don't hear a Tyrolean sound.
Yeah.
You hear
yeah.
an African American blues sound. So,
oh, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
that's an independent tradition?
Yes, it's a different tradition. The yodeling, the way we think of it, we tend to think of it as a Swiss thing that got imported, but as Bart has pointed out in his books, yodeling is all over the planet. It's really a laryngeal mechanism popping between the registers, normal modal register and loft or falsetto register, and the Swiss are very, very famous for it, and that music is perhaps what most people think of, but that's certainly not the only yodeling. And so it's a common feature of African singing, for example, and so when the slaves were forcibly taken to America, they brought a lot of their traditions with them. And so when this is a kind of a prehistory, because we don't have recordings of this in the 19th century, we have a few people writing about the performance of the music of the blacks, and Frederick Law Olmsted talked about hollering, which was a black and white tradition in the South, and he described that as Negro yodeling. So there was a kind of yodeling and that came through African-American traditions, and this is what profoundly affected, influenced Jimmy Rogers. But if you listen to Jimmy Rogers, he yodeled in virtually everything that he wrote. I think there's two or three songs that he didn't yodel in out of 111 sides, and some of these do have the more European-style yodels, the more conventional Tin Pan Alley-type material or folk-songy material, But the blues don't sound like that at all, because they use a different mode and they use different rhythms.
Right. So, you know, with that notion of there being a strong current of African-American yodeling that can bear yodeling through the decades, let's hear a little bit of none other than R. Kelly. Now it's 2009. This is Echo. So Bart Blandengo, there's something weird going on here, and I think you know what I'm about to say, which is that in Jimmy Rogers, a white singer, we can absolutely hear black idioms that have been translated. Here's R. Kelly in 2009, a black singer, and he's basically going Tyrolean on us, isn't he?
Yeah. Even the video, actually. And he took a lot of heat for it. He did a separate video for his fans, who gave him a lot of heat for yodeling, and he sat down and basically was dressed very politely and told everybody that this is what he wanted to do, and you know, get used to it if you're a fan of his.
So, Tim, is it fair to say that American music has kind of an off and on relationship with yodeling? I mean, it's always kind of either unfashionable or about to become unfashionable or about to become fashionable.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. It's been in American music continuously since it was introduced in the 1830s, let's say. But it's never really been in the mainstream. It's always been in, actually it was, you know, in the pre-World War II, with the rise of so-called hillbilly music and cowboy music, there were big hits, and even mainstream performers like Bing Crosby were singing yodel songs, even though he didn't really properly yodel, but he was nodding to the yodel fashion. So it was pretty big in those days. But I think what happened was that the emergence of the cool aesthetic around World War II edged it out as urban sophistication began to replace rustic cowboys.
Tim, I have to ask, I mean, you're a senior lecturer in musicology at a British university. There certainly is a little bit of the kitsch label that attaches itself to yodeling. I don't know, what happens at cocktail parties, or for all I know, high teas, when you announce what it is that you, what your one of your areas of focus is?
Well, yes, people are usually surprised. In fact, I had a student ask me the other day if I was a yodeler, because she'd heard that that's what I research, and she just presumed that I was a yodeler. But I got interested in this subject because I, too, thought yodeling was kind of a joke. And I never took it seriously. When I was a kid growing up and we'd see singers on the television yodeling, we would usually howl with laughter. And I just thought that was the way everybody was. But I began to question what it was that about yodeling that made people have that reaction. And I thought, it's not really the music at all. It's cultural attitudes and what we are conditioned to like and what we are conditioned to dislike, but also the kinds of things that yodeling has been associated with. That has not always worked in its favor. So it's not really the practice itself exactly, but it's a lot of the associations and connotations of it, I think, that provoke these strong reactions, and that's what I tried to elucidate.
Well, I think also, and this will set up our final segment of the show pretty well, once the yodeling goat got out of the corral, if goats are in corrals. I mean, in fact, once that sound is out there, it's going to creep in all kinds of places. So here's Mike Nesmith of the Monkees, but he's, as Mike Nesmith, he's doing the song Joanne. You're not going to hear exactly yodeling, but you're going to hear a sound that probably wouldn't happen without yodeling.
Her name was Joanne, and she lived near the meadow by a pond. She touched me for a moment with a look that spoke to me.
So Bart Plantanga, you know, that's not exactly yodeling, but no one would probably do that if they hadn't heard yodeling.
Yeah, it's kind of secondhand Slim Whitman, actually. But there have been hits, you know. Focus with Hocus Pocus, actually a Dutch band, had a huge mega hit, all through Europe and in America. I think it was even number one. But the lead singer, Thijs van Leer, yodeled because he didn't speak English well enough. So they wrote nonsense lyrics, and that was how they broke through.
Bart, I want you to know that in the newsroom of this radio station, I played that song through the computers when I was trying to convince the staff to do a show about yodeling. And I don't know. I mean, it's sort of an annoying song, so maybe it wasn't the right song to play, but it is. It's prog rock, and it's yodeling all in one. So we have to take a little break here, and we are so grateful, first of all, to Josh Nalea, who's the person I bullied into doing the show, but it's a really fun show, and also to Tim Wise, author of Yodeling and Meaning in American Music, and to Bart Plantenga, author of Yodel in Hi-Fi, From Kitsch Folk to Contemporary Electronica. Some of the most exciting stuff is still to come. You're going to hear me and Kion get a yodeling lesson. You will hear us yodel. We are beautiful when we yodel. And the people who are about to talk to you are beautiful people, too. It's Betsy Kaplan and Tucker Ives. Please, especially today, if you could pledge during this to say, yes, I love a show that would do an episode like this one.
Are you ready to hear me and Colin yodel? Let me rephrase that. Are you willing to hear me and Colin yodel? Either way, it's going to happen. Today's show was produced by Josh Nalea and me, Kion Wolf. Amanda Fish yodels underwater, and the part of Bill Curry was played by Jewel. On tomorrow's show, people who embrace dual religious traditions. And now, back to the show to lay you.
We're back with our conversation about yodeling. You're still with us, right? You didn't leave, did you? Come on, this is actually very interesting. And so we wanted to do a little bit more. I guess you don't really say hands-on yodeling, but we wanted to really do some yodeling here in the studio, have somebody who incorporates yodeling into his musical style here, and also maybe get a yodeling lesson. Wolfie and I are going to take a yodeling lesson here in the studio, and possibly you can do this at home too. But first, I want you to meet Roger Tinknell, Massachusetts-based cowboy yodeler, musician, and traveling performer. You can find him at rogertinknell.com. We'll probably put up a link to that at WNPR.org. Also in the studio, Kion Wolf, WNPR's technical producer, announcer, on-air personality, and musical prodigy. So, Roger, first of all, welcome. Thanks for coming down from Massachusetts for
this.
My
pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Was yodeling something that just kind of came naturally to you, or did you have a eureka moment?
I'd say more of a eureka moment. It was never something I was attracted to as a young, initially rock and roll musician and then turned folk musician, but in my 20s, I had the opportunity to hear Bill Stange, who's a folk singer, songwriter, and yodeler from New Hampshire.
Performed around here a lot, too. Well known.
Right, and I saw him in Northampton, Mass, at a coffee house, and he offered a yodel workshop afterward. And I was so impressed with his songs, and the yodeling was unique to me, and I took the workshop, and the rest is history. After that, I started listening to traditional yodelers and researching it a little bit and incorporated it into my singing style.
So how hard was it for you to learn how to yodel?
It turned out it was fairly easy because I had been singing high tenor in a bluegrass band, and I had a fairly – when I was younger, I actually had more of a tenor voice. It's kind of slid down to a baritone level. So it's a little harder to get up to those high notes now that I'm a little older, but it was fairly simple to gravitate to picking up the style. The hardest part was just being able to – learn that technique of going into your head voice or your falsetto voice from your low voice, hit the right notes.
Yeah, and so let's pause on that for a second. I mean, in the previous segment, we've talked a little bit about the history of yodeling. Why do you keep saying yodeling? The history of yodeling and kind of the ethnology of yodeling the way it's done all over the world. But when it comes right down to yodeling, is there a thing that you can describe that you're essentially doing, a thing that you have to learn to do?
I would say the simplest way of putting it in my experience is learning to control your falsetto voice. Mm-hmm. And for men, that, you know, it's pretty distinctively different from what your chest voice is. For women, it isn't always called falsetto. It's often just called a higher register. And I've found that, you know, the most famous women yodelers are ones that often had a little bit lower voices. And when they shifted into their higher register, there was more of a contrast. So we often think of yodeling as sort of the cowboy slash male kind of yodeling thing, but there are a lot of women yodelers, and it's really about getting into your head voice accurately.
From your chest voice. You have to go from one place to the other, right?
And it's kind of the antithesis of what a traditional classical voice teacher would say, which you want smooth transition.
Right.
In fact, when I was learning to yodel, I was also in the process of taking voice lessons, and the gentleman I was working with, I told him, I've been learning to do this yodeling stuff, and I'm a little worried that it's going to hurt my voice. And his experience and his response was, no, it's actually good for your voice to sing in these different registers.
I think so, too. And I think people yodel, they kind of yodel without realizing they're doing it. And I came up this morning with an example of it. I'm going to try to do it. I'm going to back off the mic a little bit. I hope I can do this. So when male voices sing the song Ooh, Baby, Baby, they come to a point where they go, I'm crying, ooh.
There it is.
So you're kind of doing
that's
that,
the
right?
yodel.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, that's a yodel
it's
right
really
there.
It's really that simple, yeah.
And so is also some of it locating the point at which your voice breaks? Because it seems to me the other thing that the yodel contains, like you said, a classically trained singer might try to go, ooh,
and get a smooth change, right?
Whereas the yodel, it seems to me, it glides over that, ooh.
Right, you're
like
actually
that.
Looking for a demarcation point. As
So I've got a professional yodeler in here, and I'm yodeling, which is
You're
stupid.
Doing great.
So give us one of your a song. Give us sort of part of a little song so we can get inspired.
Well, you know, years ago I wrote this little novelty tune. It's a bit of a joke to teach yodeling, actually. And it was a takeoff on the fact that in traditional American cowboy yodeling, you have these certain syllables that are common. Yodel lady, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I called it the yodeling old lady. And it has a chorus, which when I'm working with audiences, allows them to actually respond by singing all those different syllables and giving it a shot. So
Kyone and I are going to do that?
So but before we even do the song, I should probably give you a quick little lesson to see how this key works. Because I'm starting in one key, and later on I'm going to break off into a higher key and I'll do some solo yodeling.
Yeah,
But right now, let me make sure this key works for you guys. This is what I would typically do in an audience. So just echo back if you don't mind. Hey, try it.
Hey.
Sounds great.
Are you good over there with that?
I'm good.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, hey. And we'll take it up a little higher. Hey,
hey.
We'll walk our way down.
Hey,
hey. So I think we've got a key that
works. We've worked together for 8 years. I've never felt closer to you.
And so, you know, what I jokingly say after a little quick introduction like that is often I'll say, well, let's do a little graduate yodeling where you take it up and try some of the descending notes. Yodel-ay, 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 tee. Let's try that one.
We may not yodel-ay,
yodel-ay, yodel-ay, yodel-ay.
So I think we're warmed up for the song.
Yeah.
So
when
we get to the chorus, you'll just echo back on that on the chorus, and you've already had, you know, the worst of it right there, so to speak. Long, long ago, in a land bright and fair, there lived an old woman to none did compare. She lived alone on a mountain so high, watching the world roll by. When she was younger, a fair maid was she. Married a man, had children, 1, 2, 3. Her children have grown, her husband moved on. So now she has time to sing her own song. Here comes our echo. I am an old lady. Let's give it a shot.
I am an old lady.
All right. Yodel lady.
Yodel lady.
Yodel lady.
Yodel lady.
I am an old lady, yo.
I am an old lady, yo.
Okay, here we go. Old lady, old lady, old lady, old lady. Give it a try. Here we go. Old lady, old lady, old lady, old lady. Beautiful. Well, she's up in the morning brewing her tea. Life is so different than it used to be when children were growing and work to be done. There just wasn't time to have any fun. Now we're going to have fun with a little barbershop quartet. So you pick a part. Now she sings. Let's try that one. Pick a third or a fifth or whatever you want to do.
Now she sings.
Lovely.
I am an old lady, oh. I am an old lady, oh.
Old lady.
Old lady.
You're a little lady.
You're a little lady.
I am an old lady, oh.
I am an old lady, oh.
You're a little, you're a little, you're a little, you're a lady.
You're a lady, you're a lady, you're a lady, you're a lady.
Beautiful. Well, some folks say it's hard to be gray, old and arthritic, always in the way, but not this old woman. Her life was filled with glee. Oh, she was so happy, she'd sing her melody. Let's do our barbershop together.
Now she sings.
I am an old lady, oh.
I am an old lady, oh.
Old lady.
Old lady.
You're a little lady.
You're a little lady.
Beautiful. I am an old lady, oh.
I am an old lady, yo.
What a lady, what a lady, what a lady, what a lady. Give it a try.
What a lady, what a lady, what a lady, what a lady.
Oh, fortune.
I-D-A, what a loo-ti, yo. What a loo-ti, what a loo-ti, what a loo-ti. I-D-A, what a loo-ti, yo. What a loo-ti, what a loo-ti, what a loo-ti. What a loo-ti, 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 what a
loo-ti, what a loo-ti, what a loo-ti,
what a loo-ti, what a loo-ti, what a loo-ti, what a
That's Roger Tinknell. Thank you so much for doing this, and thank you so much for putting up with us. So let me just ask you a few more questions from the world of yodeling, about the world of yodeling. I think some people feel as though this is kind of a niche thing and maybe a thing that people do for humorous effects in movies or whatever, but it isn't really necessarily a thriving musical art. What would you say to that?
Well, there's some truth to that in the sense, historically speaking, that I think in American cowboy yodeling culture, it's always been a niche thing. And for example, there's a guy named Slim Whitman,
yeah,
who was one of the earliest well-known American cowboy style yodeling. He was also known for his just incredibly rich voice and did a lot of different styles. But he used to be the opening act for Elvis Presley.
Right.
And
a huge, huge selling artist in this country, and also saved us from a Martian invasion.
And saved us from the Martian invasion, yeah, exactly. And he was a bigger seller in the British and in England than he was in American culture, actually. But then there were other people during that time. You know, there was people like Jimmy Rogers,
sure,
who was the singing brakeman. He always did the yodels at the end of his songs. He had certain songs called, you know, Yodel Blues and Yodel Number 9, all these things. And then Hank Williams. Soon after that, Hank Williams Sr., that is.
Right. And I also feel as though what's happened, too, is that particularly among a lot of female vocalists kind of in country, alt-folk, there's a thing that's almost a yodel. And you know, Wolfie, you were saying you sang along to Jewel Records. She actually does yodel.
And she does.
And her father, I think, was a country yodeler
And
performs with her.
Right.
But I think even when she's not yodeling, she and a lot of other female singers do something that, and let's just hear a little bit of this. This is one of her big hits. Just listen to what her voice does.
Who will save your soul when it comes to the baby? And who will save your soul after all those lies that you told, boy? And who will save your soul if you won't save your?
So, Roger, to me, she will actually discreetly yodel on other occasions, but that's
the same idea.
Yeah,
right, exactly. And it reminds me, hearing her style, it reminds me a little bit of what people like Hank Williams did when you get, I got a feeling called the blues, oh Lord, since my baby said goodbye. You know, that kind of thing, which has that crack in there, which is, you know, a singing yodel, not necessarily using those syllables that we associate with yodeling. And I think that's continued on from there.
I think some people develop their voice. I mean, Iris DeMent, for example, has a voice where even when she's just normally singing, it sounds kind of like she's yodeling.
I know what you
right?
mean. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Some people's voice lend themselves to that more. Exactly.
So when you perform for people and maybe even put them through their paces the way you just did with me and Wolfie, I mean, are people open to it? Are they ready to yodel?
Oh, it's amazing. I'm totally shocked how amazed people are by yodeling. And I think it's partly because most people don't hear it very often. It is a crowd pleaser. I think of it as a bit of a trick. I mean, you know, I use it at the end of a concert sometimes just to kind of get people going. But I've also been fortunate to find out from doing a lot of my school performances, I've been doing like educational programs in schools for the last 35 years, that even younger children respond to it. You know, they'll joke about it and they'll get a little self-conscious when I try to teach them, but they end up later on coming up and talking about it. You know, they're fascinated by it. People are fascinated by the technique.
Thank you so much for coming down and doing this. And I want you to take us out of the show. We're about to end the show now. There'll be a little fundraising after the show. If you respect and love a radio show that would actually devote an entire episode to yodeling, that, first of all, makes you very special. But please give, please pledge when the people come on. But Roger's what are you going to play us out with?
Well, I wrote in here on my Pinto Pal. So I'll sing a song about my little horse called the Pinto Pal. Give me a Pinto Pal. And give me a gal with a western gleam in her eye. Give us the range to roam for us all alone and a billion stars in the sky. Give us a trail that's filled with flowers and birds where we'll watch the world roll by. Give me a Pinto Pal and a yodelay. Let me live there till I die. Yodelay, yodelay.